Our reading this morning comes from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 4 through 16. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it's page 616 in the Old Testament. But the words will be up here on the monitor. This is one of those readings where if you find yourself wanting to point an accusing finger at somebody, you have to remember that your thumb is also pointing back at you. This is one of those readings that makes me laugh ruefully. You know that word, ruefully, because of the things that it says to us. Then I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from one person's envy of another. This also is vanity and a chasing after wind. Fools fold their hands and consume their own flesh. Better is a handful with quiet than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after wind. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, the case of solitary individuals without sons or brothers. Yet there is no end to all their toil, and their eyes are never satisfied with riches. For whom am I toiling, they ask, and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who will no longer take advice. One can indeed come out of prison to reign, even though born poor in the kingdom. I saw all the living who, moving about under the sun, follow that youth who replaced the king. There was no end to all those people whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and a chasing after wind.
The Japanese created a word, karoshi. Karoshi literally translates into death from overwork. They created this term karoshi in the 1970s when they saw a trend in the business world of people dying before their life expectancy would end. They were dying from the stress of too much work. A case in point is 31-year-old Takashiro. He leaves his home by 8 o'clock in the morning to go to his job as a salesman, and he does not return home until after midnight. He does that 5 days a week. He never sees his wife or his young daughter during the week. He only has time for them on the weekend. His wife realized the damage that this was doing to her husband, and she enrolled him in a program to prevent him from being a next victim of this problem. Well, Solomon has something to say to our young Japanese man who's working himself to death. In fact, he gives us three pearls of wisdom in this fourth chapter of Ecclesiastes about how to prevent this problem of karoshi. I'm going to go through those three pearls of wisdom for you today because I think they will help us to live this balanced life. The first pearl of wisdom is this. Solomon advises us to choose contentment. It's a big key in this book of Ecclesiastes, to choose contentment over achievement. To choose contentment over achievement. You see, the problem with karoshi and what the Japanese have experienced, and you can apply the same lesson here in our country with people in the working force, is that people have gotten into this concept that somehow as an employee, the harder you work, the more you do, the more productivity you put out, you think somebody's going to take notice. You think the people you work for, your managers and the bosses and the owners of the outfit, somehow just might take notice of what Joe's doing. And you might get some reward someday of all of this work, all of this activity, all of this busyness that you're prone to do. So over the course of time, you find yourself working more and more. And when they ask at the office, would anyone take on this project? You're the first to raise your hand. You say, yes, I'll be happy to do this. You find yourself working a little bit later each and every day because you just want to get one more thing done before you go home. When it comes around to thinking about vacation time, you say, well, you know, I've got 3 weeks coming, but I don't really need all 3 weeks, so maybe I'll just work one of those weeks. And when you do take vacation, you be like some people I know who take their electronics with them and check in daily on their email and what's going on at work, and that doesn't, to me, seem like much of a vacation. But that is the culture that we're living under. And it's doing us harm. Because after a while, you find you've created this ugly pattern for yourself that can be hard to break. And if you have found yourself in that point, I would tell you to step back and do some self-evaluation. Is that really how you want to live life? And you need to ask yourself some tough questions. The sacrifice that I'm making for the company, am I really getting rewarded for it? Is it really making a difference in my life? Is it worth what I'm paying in price to do this? What is suffering in my life because I am becoming a victim of karoshi? So those are some tough questions that you need to ask yourself if you feel like work has become your all-consuming passion. And Solomon would say to us, if you want some wisdom, work smarter, not harder. See if you can apply that to your working life. The second pearl of wisdom that we can glean from chapter 4 is this, is that it's important to choose relationships over riches. To choose relationships over riches. You know, you can work all those extra hours and make some overtime money and think you're doing well, and you think somehow this is what I must do to provide for my family and put a roof over my head and food on the table and make sure my kids have a better life than I had. And that's kind of our mindset that goes into driving us sometimes to work like this. But I'm going to tell you, more than likely you're leaving a trail of destruction behind you when that is your habit. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to simply call him Working Man. You may know someone like this. Working Man decided it was important to put in a lot of hours. He's gone by 7 in the morning and he comes home at 7 at night. But when he gets home, he's so exhausted, it takes an hour or so to unwind, and he doesn't want to do anything with anyone, and he tells the family, just leave me alone. Then he'll eventually wander his way into the dining room table and sit down and scarf down some dinner, go watch a little TV until he falls asleep. When he wakes up in the middle of the night in front of his TV set, he'll crawl off to bed, and he gets up and starts the day all over again the next day. And Working Man does this day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Yeah, he's getting noticed at work. He's getting some promotions. He's moving up the ladder. His family's comfortable. His kids have everything they need. And it seems like this is a good life that he's living. And he keeps saying to himself, you know, someday I'll slow down. Someday I'll retire. Someday I'll take it easy. But now this is my life. Then someday comes. At work that day, they made him the CEO. He reached the top of his game, and he came home to share it with his family. But guess what? There was nobody there. The wife had long ago given up on him. She had her own career and work that she was doing. And the kids grew up right under his nose, and they're no longer living at home. When he came home to share his good news, there was nobody to share it with. That is what happens when your life is out of balance. The third pearl of wisdom that Solomon brings to us in chapter 4 is it's better to choose influence over popularity. Better to choose influence over popularity. The people that you're going to remember in life are the ones who have influenced you somehow, not the ones who are popular. I can tell you, and luckily I can tell you, I think in a few years you won't even know the name of a Kardashian. And for that, we might be able to say thanks be to God. Because that's what happens to popular people. You can spend your time on the internet today looking at who was famous 15 or 20 years ago, and they'll have some current information on what they're doing, and they're not doing anything that made them famous and made you remember their name, if you could even remember their name. That's the way popularity is fleeting. When Don Meredith was the successful quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, he said, "Yeah, I'll enjoy it while I can because today I'm up in the penthouse. But when my run is over, I'll be in the outhouse." There's a lot of wisdom to that in popularity. But what about people who are influential? Do their gifts not have a lasting difference in the world? Who are some influential people that you can think of, either who've touched you personally or who have changed our world? You not only remember them, you remember their contribution. So if you want to do anything in life, strive to be influential much more than choosing to be popular. So what Solomon lays out for us, what the Japanese are trying to struggle against and confront, and what many of us need to deal with, is finding this balance to life. It will make all the difference, I think, between your happiness and your not being so happy. Because after a while, when you put all your focus into one part of life, you're already out of kilter and out of balance. And you probably get to a point where you no longer want to do what you've created for your life to be. And there's much more to life than your work. You know, I do end-of-life work. That means I attend and I officiate at many funerals. Rarely at a funeral do I hear anyone talk about that deceased enjoyment of work. It may be a footnote in the celebration of that person's life, what he or she did for their livelihood, if you will, or their vocation, but rarely is that lifted up and celebrated. What people want to have lifted up and celebrated are the other parts of their life, their family, their friends, their passions they got to enjoy. So keep that in mind and think, when it's my turn and my memorial service is coming, will the people putting that together have a hard time speaking about that aspect of my life? So I'm going to share some things that I pulled for you from the internet. You can go on the internet and look for balance in life, and you can find anything you want to read about it. So I picked five from this WISE web's page that gave some good tips, and I'm going to give you the five. Number one, take care of and nurture yourself. Because if you don't do it, no one's going to do it for you. Take care of and nurture yourself. You can think you can keep this kind of hectic, crazy pace all you want, working much more than anyone should, getting very little exercise, not eating right, not getting enough sleep, still function at the top of your game, but trust me, you're not at the top of your game, and at some point you're going to crash because you're out of balance. Set aside time each day for an activity that you enjoy. When's the last time you've done that? Number two, know what your priorities are. Balance means not cramming every detail into every moment, but selecting what's important and letting go of what's not. Set some good boundaries around yourself. And depending on where you are and in what stage in life, your focus and your energies will be different. But at any point, it's wise to remember, never bite off more than you can chew. Know what your priorities are. Number three, create an efficient mindset. Be organized. Plan ahead. For some of us, that's harder than for others. Take time at the start of each week to kind of look at your calendar, your schedule, what's coming, assess what really needs to be done, and maybe let go of what doesn't. And look at your calendar. Use it for your good. Did I mark time today for work, for rest, and for play? And if there's not a good balance there, you know you've got a problem. And you might end up dealing with something like Kiroshi. Create an efficient mindset. Number four, expect the unexpected. You notice that's how life works. You spend your life dealing with the unexpected. So rather than getting stressed and upset, learn to roll with the punches of life. When something over which you have absolutely no control comes your way. And it will come and come often. Stuff happens in life. We've all experienced the unexpected. And if you keep that in mind, it's less likely to throw you off stride when it does come your way. Expect the unexpected. Number five, maintain a positive mental attitude. If you practice not letting things get to you, you will not only learn to have a well-balanced life, but you will also find you're living a less stressful life. Once you've done everything that is within your control, then let the rest just unfold. It's wise to be prepared for the future, but it's wise to not worry about the future. Maintain a positive mental attitude. If you're in a place in life where you're not experiencing joy and satisfaction, then I would suggest to you that your problem is simple. That you're out of balance, that the scales of your life don't look like that right now. If that's where you are in life, take Solomon's wisdom, take what you need to take that I've shared today and apply that, Whatever you do, don't become a victim of karoshi. Don't do something with so much time and energy that it takes your life. It may not be taking your life physically, but it may be taking your life emotionally and spiritually. Find the balance. It might just save your life. Amen.